Welcome to Lorehammer, bonus episode.
Hello and welcome to Lorehammer. This is our bonus episode. My name is Eric.
And I'm the Salt Master.
His name is Mark.
And I'm the Salt Miner, Jordan.
Awkward. Joining us is Christian.
Hey, everybody.
And so to start, I'd like to tell a funny story involving Christian.
All right. Off script. Let's do this.
Every time we get together, he's like, yeah, for our podcast, yes, we're going to do this. So me and Eric, we just look at each other and we're like, no, mine and Eric's and Jordan's podcast. Christian, you are a guest in this home.
There is a whole story behind this, which I'm excited to get to at some point in one of our bonus episodes. But it is totally right. Christian sent Mark a message, or he sent all of us a message in our group chat, and he was like, yeah, for our podcast. And I don't even respond to it anymore. I just screenshot it and sent it to Mark privately, and it was like, our, you know,
But we're glad to have you here.
Of course, Christian. So good to have you back. This is the last time that you'll be on our podcast.
You keep throwing
the Royal Wee podcast.
But today's bonus episode is, obviously it's not about the lore, really. It is about 40K, but it's not necessarily about canon lore. It's not really an education piece. It's more of us just discussing 40K related stuff.
Sometimes we just need to record something, so we make up an episode like this.
Yeah. Hey, today we're going to talk about blue. How many times does blue appear in 40K?
I can name one time. The blue chair.
Which will get its own episode, obviously.
Yes, episode 79.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
The blue chair.
But I'm actually going to turn this over to Jordan, because this was Jordan's idea of a bonus episode.
Uh-oh. I'll try and make sure this doesn't crash and burn.
And
everybody bail.
Boom. There we go.
Episode's over.
There. Now you kept in tact to all our other podcast episodes. Now you're in the same vibe.
Yeah, no kidding. So I think one of the things, a few things I wanted to bring up, and some of them are my gripes/annoyances.
Can we never be positive in this podcast?
Well, 40K, nothing can be good.
Yeah, so precisely.
Good call.
Which is exactly what I will get to. Nice segue.
You're welcome.
Yeah, though I really like the universe, there's a lot of positives to it. I think it's very immersive.
We wouldn't be doing a podcast about 40K if we didn't like 40K.
Right. Totally. All of us here like 40K, right?
Yeah, totally.
I'm indifferent.
Get out. Get the fuck
Get
out.
Get the fuck out of our podcast.
Our.
Yeah. And so I think 40K, as far as story terms, many other fictional universes, in my opinion, has some flaws to it. There are some things that bug me about it that I don't think always makes it the greatest story in the world or the greatest narrative in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not perfect is what you're saying.
Now the thing... Okay. Yes.
Everyone can agree to that.
Yes.
Now the thing about 40K, unlike other... Which I think is cool about it, unlike other fictional universes, is that it started as a game.
Yeah.
And miniatures and models, and then they built the story from the game, which makes it super unique. There's really nothing else that's that similar to the 40K universe.
Yeah.
Except for maybe Dungeons and Dragons or something, where you kind of create the story as you go. But yeah. My first issue is the amount of nihilism in 40K.
But I get off to that.
I'm not entering into that conversation again with you, Mark. I feel like I may have done irreparable damage to our friendship last time. So,
and
I mean, you're not wrong, though. I agree. I agree with that statement, Jordan.
And it's, yes. And it's not like, I think nihilism is like definitely an interesting topic to explore. But it almost, the thing is like, if I want to try and get into something, the sort of the lack of redemptive qualities in a story can be like really almost depressing, and kind of like it can almost become predictable in a way where the story is actually like it's like you know, universes where like the hero always wins and there's always a happy ending.
That's that is not
this is the complete opposite.
No, yeah, I'm saying those are crappy because they're just so predictable. This is almost like the polar opposite.
Yeah,
of that.
Like whenever you read a book, don't get attached to any character.
Yeah.
Even if his name is on the title of a book and you know he's in other books, don't get attached to him. He's totally. Gonna die.
Like yeah, totally.
Yeah,
and like there are some. I like some of the elements of like even like the sort of maybe the, I don't even want to call like the emperor, he's not really like the, there's no main protagonist, but let's just for like argument's sake say like the emperor is like the single most important character in the universe. Even he isn't necessarily a guy you root for.
Yeah,
not at all. Not especially with the new things they're saying about what he's done.
Yeah,
right. In my mind, he's even becoming more and more of an asshole.
Yeah, totally. And for me, it's like it's almost like there's nothing. You like characters based on how awful they are rather than
and
like
and the terrible things they've gone through.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
Like that's like what gets you invested in it. And it's almost like, I think even in real life, like if you think about like, I don't know, like sports or politics or anything, you kind of build like a narrative around a team or a person. And then you like, you get emotionally invested in that. And then you cheer for that, even though it's somewhat irrational to like cheer for that person. It is like, it helps keep you engaged in that story. You know what I mean? To have like someone that you're like cheering for.
Someone you're invested in.
Totally. And whereas my struggle with 40K is like, well, this person has no redemptive qualities to them. There's no virtue in them. They're only going to end up disappointing me. So why be invested in it at all? So
it's not virtuous about suicidal, like
genocidal,
fanaticism.
Jordan, do you not believe in the purity of the race?
Apparently not.
So I agree on a lot of that. Now, have you ever considered that the protagonist of the story is humanity and like humanity's struggle in the galaxy? So I know that's a little different than what normally you'd look for, but like, I think the way I would probably look at that is you can't view it as one person.
Yeah.
Right. And you'd have to look at it as humanity's struggle as a whole.
But yeah, like that's so hard to attach to. Like
it is, like, right? How do you attach? And how do you as a single person attach to the needs of the race, of humanity as a, like, it's impossible.
Isn't that the deeper meaning of 40K though? Isn't it engaging you on a different level? You have to consider that it's beyond.
I've killed millions to save billions.
Exactly.
Right.
I thought it was just about rolling dice.
You are wrong.
You are wrong. You are dead wrong. But no, I think that raises some really good points. Actually, I think you'll find that there are more characters that are honorable and virtuous the deeper you delve into it.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe we've only scratched the surface of it. There are a lot of characters that we haven't met yet. But I think also a lot of it just has to do with the setting and the atmosphere of the galaxy. Like it's not a good place, and it is depressing.
Totally.
Like there is a real lack of like hope in it. Like you look at other fantasy ones, like Star Wars, like has the Jedi as like a shining beacon.
Yeah.
Right.
I heard this one funny quote from somewhere, and it was, Star Trek guys want to live in Star Trek. Star Wars guys want to live in Star Wars. 40K guys would rather be anywhere else than 40K.
No, it's so like, true. If we were in 40K,
it would be bad.
We'd be dead. We'd be dead. Yeah. Or we'd be working.
Just pick the worst way to die. That's all you get, but you're going to die.
It's
horribly.
Sort of like, it's, and I think it is like a double-edged sword, right? Because it is, that's actually the thing that that sets 40K probably apart from anything else. And it sometimes it can be the thing that can like almost make you not want to keep coming back to it. Even with your point with the humanity is the protagonist, like we were just doing like the Minor Xenos episodes, and look humanity at how many
annihilating everybody. Yeah.
Look at how many races are annihilated by, and you can look at that and like humanity is the hero because they're like dominating the galaxy, and but that doesn't like on like a personal level that doesn't seem virtuous whatsoever,
and you can't relate to it either.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I like
speak for yourself.
I would more view it as like, yes, they are they're committing genocide, right? They're destroying an alien race, but not because they desperately have to, but because it feels necessary to them as a whole,
right?
If as a hero, when you have a single unit, an enemy comes up against you, do you cut off his arm and let him crawl away, or do you utterly destroy him so he can't stop you in what you're trying to do? Right, you fight and you kill even, and you completely destroy and dominate in order to protect you and those around you. But when you're talking about it on a larger scale, such as humanity, and you get genocide,
yeah, totally. Right?
Well, and you get obliteration.
But I almost think that's somewhat like that. Okay, the idea that there's like no alliances in the 40K universe seems a little because that's not even how life works. That's in real life.
Entirely accurate, though, if you dig into the lore enough. There are like allies of convenience and things like that where
I think
the situation will dictate what humanity does.
I think Jordan's really going to enjoy the Inquisitor side because they have a lot more freedom.
They start to toe the kind of that gray area.
Exactly.
Things aren't as like cut and dry rule-wise. Like, and you're not allowed to fraternize with Xenos and things like
but
that.
But they do, right?
And
they'll have like Xenos that they trade with, and Rogue Traders will be another good one I think that you might enjoy. But so they do exist, but it's definitely not humanity as a whole. Humanity as a whole is bad.
So
but good.
Kind of a counterpoint to kind of a nice segue too. The way I see it, I like your interpretation of it, Eric, but I think the point of the 40K universe is that there are no heroes, there are no protagonists per se. And I think that's to appeal to like everyone that plays a game, right? So if you want to take the universe from the perspective of okay, true. But if you want to take the universe from the perspective of the Eldar, for example, right? They can be just as much a protagonist to that player, right? So that's the whole point of it, is to appeal to everybody.
That's a good point.
No one can be too good and no one can be too bad, because they kind of want to create that stalemate where
they want you to be invested in the actual
game and the people that you represent and play, right?
And really that's where it all comes down to, like, because it is a game, like, so everything they do have to feed into that game,
right? It's game first, story second.
You
manipulate the story to fit in with what you've already created in the game. It's not the other way around,
which kind of like we've mentioned this before, is like the story is a setting for the game to be played in, more so than a story, right?
Right.
And then things like Black Library came out later and started to add story elements to the setting.
To enhance your game experiences. Okay, that's a very good thing to...
I agree. Now, the only thing I would say is, and it's probably the vast majority of cases, people are getting into 40K because of the game, not because of the story. I've seen like the last few years, I've seen like 40K books making the New York Times bestsellers. And I've seen like, you know, chapters will have entire shelves full of 40K books.
There's so many.
And the story itself is getting like, it's reaching a wider audience.
It's taken on a life of its own.
Totally. And I think like if you were... And we do specifically a podcast about the story, you know, so if you're just focusing on the story element, I think it can leave you wanting. But if you're in it for the game, then the story makes total or the sort of the setting, if you will, makes total sense. But if you're in it like for the story, it might, I think it would be hard to keep people in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a fair criticism. And I mean, it's like speaking back to kind of a historical context for the game, you're not the only person who kind of complains of how grimdark the grimdarkness has become.
Right, yeah.
And it's like often a trope people use. Like it used to be, it came out in the 80s, and there's a very like strong humorous element to 40K that's kind of been sanded out of the universe and replaced with more grimdark. There's always like that two-sided coin of like almost gallows humor, right? Things were funny, especially in the Rogue Trader area. The universe didn't take itself seriously. The lore didn't take itself seriously. It was all like,
and you can even see that through like the pictures and the models that they released.
Absolutely,
in that era.
Yeah. So it was like a big joke, and like a lot of the stuff is like, you know, they take tropes from other sci-fi universes and just insert it into their own, like both mocking the idea, but also you know,
it's like
playing with
sometimes
it.
Sometimes it's a satire, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So in that regard, like there's people who have been playing since first edition or since Rogue Trader. They could easily see kind of like the morphing of the humor and stuff being taken out and like more grimdarkness inserted in. And so I don't think you'd be the only one to make that complaint that things have gone maybe too far with the grimdarkness and maybe to rein it in a little bit or add more of a humorous edge to kind of blunt the edginess of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think that if you, you know, like, I don't know, the orcs, for instance, could be like a really funny kind of race. You could do a lot of like comical things with them, right?
And they do.
Yeah, and they do. And but it seems like there's a lot of opportunity to have sort of the, almost that you don't necessarily have to make it like this, like the good guys win and we live happily ever after. But if you just even inserted like more humorous satirical elements in it, I think it would be like a little easier to swallow.
Yeah,
especially with some of the other races.
I do agree with you, but from a racial level, you can't, right? No a race as a whole could be described as a funny race.
Yeah.
Because then they wouldn't fit in the galaxy. You could have, I think, individual instances of this humor and this satire, but if the Eldar like are known for being funny and satirical, like, and not for being serious and like protective of their own ability, it would be like, well, they're not even a contender anymore because they don't take this seriously.
It would be hard to make the Eldar funny, but
right, yeah.
Harlequins.
Yeah.
They have a group of clowns.
That's true. That I actually was thinking of that was the Harlequins. That is like a...
And that's where it comes from, right? Like, and I mean, even the whole Imperium is like a riff on authoritarianism of the 80s in Britain, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's where it was founded and that's where it started.
Yeah. There's actually this really funny picture of orcs that Christian... Was it Christian who sent us that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's like, it's a land raider that is like all rhino. Chopped up. Is it a rhino?
I don't remember, actually.
It was a rhino.
It's a rhino? Oh, I thought it was big. Anyway, so it's a rhino.
Just your imagination, my friend.
And it's like really crappily painted, and on it says not orc, and then it says space marines on it, but it's actually just portions of a rhino that orcs are carrying on them.
On their backs,
and then they like split up, and you see all the different orc models, and it's like, that is so orky, but it's absolutely hilarious.
Yeah,
right?
Orcs exemplify, like, that used to be what all of 40K was kind of like the orc humor mentality. And so orcs are, I think, the only race that's maintained that into this latest edition and like all the iterations of it. They retain that humorous kind of edge. Like if you look at orcs and you strip out the humor, like they're a really bad race. Like they're very bloodthirsty. They live only to fight. They enjoy cruelty. So they're more like a Lord of the Rings orc, right? Yeah, exactly. They're very dark and stuff, but it's that humorous edge that kind of like, you know, they're not so bad after all, right?
Yeah.
And that used to be the whole universe, and now it's really just orcs left with that kind of...
Yeah, totally. The only other kind of gripe, and you guys don't have to agree with this 100%, but some of the things I found...
I disagree.
some of the things I found to be... I think the 40K universe can be, if you're trying... And one of the things we're trying to do is get more people into the hobby, right? And it can be difficult, and I find like the... If people are trying to understand the universe, it can be very intimidating sometimes. Specifically when you get into stuff like the warp and chaos, I think it can become very convoluted and like webways and all these things that are like, they're interconnected, but they're not really the same thing. And I think it can all get mixed up in people's heads. And I think sometimes the lines are... It's like you have to read a whole textbook to just figure out what something is.
Well, yeah, like we've done how many hours? We've done 15 episodes each couple hours.
And yeah,
like,
yeah.
We still don't.
Just scratching the surface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, now people could maybe say they understand 40K. Like,
yeah. Yeah, like, do we, like, really know what the warp is? Do any of us really know?
Like, but like, what I'm saying is, like, okay, and sorry for bringing up Star Wars so much, but if you brought up Star Wars, for instance, like, the Force, right? That's, like, a relatively easy concept.
Yeah, you can just got midichlorians.
Yeah. It's easy to measure. No, but it's quantifiable. Measure,
just like, no, yeah. Just like space magic, right? And then, like, people can kind of... You like in episode 4, Obi-Wan Kenobi does his little explanation of what the Force is, and then
it surrounds us.
Yeah, yeah. The Force
penetrates
is
us.
Well, maybe it penetrates you.
But yeah, like, try saying a 1-minute quote about what the warp is.
Precisely. Like, that's my only thing is like when you're trying to, like, if you're trying to delve into that, I think it does get a lot more like it harder to wrap your mind around is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
It can, like, be intimidating.
Yeah. I agree with you completely. And it's just, it all.
Mother's Day is almost here and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried and true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.
Comes from, like Christian was saying, like, this game's like 30 years old and people have just, it started out as that joke and then now they're trying to justify it, like, how things work
in the universe.
But, like, because when they first made it, they just made up the warp and they probably had no idea, like, where it was gonna go, exactly. Yeah. So
I saw a really funny picture actually too, of a guy who said he explained 40K 30K to his girlfriend and she took notes and it shows her notebook and she just got, like, all these characters' names written down, like circles and arrows pointing, like, so and so betrays so and so, and it looks, even from that perspective, it looks really complex.
Yeah.
I saw this one thing and it was like, where would I start in 40K? And I think a lot of people get pointed to the Horus Heresy, and I would, like, this one guy was like, he's like, that's the worst place ever to start.
It really is.
Like, you should never start with, like, the Horus Heresy. And he was like, and it was really cool. I think it was, like, another podcaster, some guy. I was just leafing through people's websites the other day. And he was like, yeah, you start, learn about the Imperial Guard first. And he was like, here's, like, a story that just, like, was with them. And then he's like, learn about these guys. But
yeah,
you got to take everything bite-sized, very small.
Yeah.
like, condense it down, take a little piece, examine that piece. And then eventually you'll have enough pieces to build the puzzle.
Yeah, I think that's the only way you can do it.
You cannot dive in. If you dive in, you're lost immediately.
Yeah, it's almost like you gotta find, like, a story where there's just, like, no more than two races or something. And it's, like, very isolated. And not
with all these crazy named characters that are gonna appear again.
A good book you should read, Joy, and I think it's called 24 Hours or something like that. But it's the story of an Imperial Guardsman who, like, the average life expectancy of an Imperial Guardsman is 24 hours. So it just plays out his 24-hour lifespan.
Oh, okay.
And
that would be an interesting story.
Yeah, but, like, it's super simple, yeah. And like Christian said, you start with the Imperial Guard. Like, it's super simple. You don't need to really... You can draw it towards our military pretty easily. You can kind of understand.
Like, like, if you knew nothing about 40K, could you read that book?
Yeah, exactly. And then they're fighting orcs, and orcs are just, like, you know, everyone knows what an orc is. Like,
it's just a green skin savage.
Yeah, and it's just a story of, like, a basic soldier in the universe.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and I think they need, like, more stories like that, you know, that are maybe just one-offs that are kind of simple and help you get you acclimated.
53 long book trilogy things.
But it just, it gets you acclimated almost to the...
You're definitely right. It also doesn't help that, like, we threw you into this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Mark's had, 15 plus years in this thing? Christian's had that same thing? Like, I've had probably 10 years in this where we've slowly built up, like, our tolerance from it.
Tolerance.
No, really, that's what it is. Yeah. Like, because a lot of times you read through, like, a lexicanum, and that was how I did the majority of my learning on it, is just sitting in that nighttime in the bed.
Random link.
It's random links, right? And you just hyperlink to
great.
The next one.
Now I know what Harkon 5 is. Right. It's an angry world with a population of 23,000.
Yeah.
Random page.
But that's like, that was how I did it.
Yeah.
And that is a terrible way to do it.
Yeah.
Right? But
I think it's just tough because there's not a great like entry point into the story.
Absolutely.
You know, like I said, like if you think about like a Star Wars or a Star Trek, any of those other like science fiction stuff, you have like your welcoming story into it, and you can kind of expand from there. Whereas with 40K, it's hard to like know where to start, and I think that's intimidating.
Yeah, but. And like even the way Games Workshop pushes their stuff, they push Space Marines on people.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like you can't push a Space Marine on somebody like.
You can't understand. Yeah, it's like a big leap to.
Yeah,
to,
so now you gotta talk about the gene seed, then you gotta talk about the Primarchs, and
talk about the Emperor.
You leave them completely in the dark, and they never learn anything.
Exactly.
Right? You just tell them, oh, it's just like StarCraft Marines.
Yeah.
Right?
And
like,
then they don't.
You completely lie to them.
Yeah, yeah. So.
No, that's
I would almost think it would be cool to have, like, almost like a novella or something of, like, each race, of just, like, it has like a little story of like that race on their home planet or something. Hmm. And you just get introduced. So if you want to play that race, you kind of get a little like kind of taste of what you're getting into.
I have a pretty wild idea for an intro kind of to the 40K universe. So we get together and we start a podcast about the lore and take it bite-sized.
Hey, Mark, do you think we could do that as a group?
I think me and you could do that.
Do you think Christian could ever make time to consistently commit to that?
Yes. No. Yes.
No, you're definitely right. The only catch I have for that is they kind of do have those.
I guess.
If you go to Lexicanum, you could just go to the orc page and read it. It's not a story.
Right.
It's more information.
It's different, though, because then it's like you're reading a textbook.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's
what
dry.
I'm saying is you want a story, like something to engage.
A character that you can relate to.
You want to
insert
yourself step
into
it.
Unit.
So join your homework is read 24 hours. Like, honestly, like.
Yeah, I will.
I don't know if that's the actual title of it. It might be like 18 hours or something like that.
Yeah,
it's essentially the same thing.
We can Google it and find
whatever
it.
The hours amount is.
But no, you're definitely
you end up
right.
with the boulder guy, the guy who cuts off his arm.
Huh? What?
36 hours?
No, it's 127
maybe
hours.
Maybe
there's too many hours.
The guy in the canyon who gets stuck.
How does time work again? Calendar.
It doesn't.
Well, in the warp, it doesn't work at all.
Fudge.
When you're in the warp, even when you're beside the warp,
it's still technically the warp. Yeah. Eric's girlfriend.
I think it's called 15 hours.
Oh. That's what? It's
on
that
Amazon.
Short?
Yeah.
15 hours.
Yeah. This looks like.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Expected life.
But like, yeah, read that. It's not a full novel, I don't think. I think it's
like a novella.
Yeah, I think it is.
Usually they say the page.
I haven't read it, but I've read tons of reviews on it, and I've listened to podcasts where they like go page by page
so
type thing.
The amount of time you've invested in it is greater than it would actually take
time
to read
the
book.
Probably. Well, honestly, like, for me, I can't read.
Right.
So, he relies on other people to tell him
exactly.
the story.
I have read books to Mark before.
Oh, yes.
I have sat down, and Mark has sat down, and
no,
I have
No, Mark
read.
Was lying in bed.
Okay, fine. He was lying in bed.
Sheets right up to my eyelids.
Right.
Like,
and I sit in a chair, and I have read books to him.
Cassie's dad got... what's the Storm book that you like? It just came out with book 3 like recently. There was the one you're reading to me.
Oh yeah, Stormlight Archive.
Yeah, so he got the third book for that for Christmas. So
terrible.
Sure.
Has he read the other two?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm like, hey, Eric read me the first book of that. He's like, what do you mean? Read you the well, father-in-law, let me tell you about how another man read an entire book to me in my bed.
Read like a 1,200-page book to you.
Yeah.
It was a bedtime story.
It was.
As a grown man.
Stormlight Archive.
Oh, yeah. No, this was only 3 years ago.
Yeah. Very recently. That's one of the coolest series, though, I've ever read. I'm going to get sidetracked.
Do I need to move you back into my house so then you can read it to me and my wife before we go to bed?
Nope. That sounds not okay for me.
So I'll kick her out then.
Oh, then it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So if it was up to you, Jordan, you would include short novellas to introduce you specifically to that race without including the setting as a whole, because that's too much.
Yes.
And like without including like major characters.
Yes. Like, yeah. Just like a single guy to get a flavor of what the like
almost like a like in terms of the whole scale of things, like an insignificant character.
Yeah.
But an interesting character just in his own.
Yeah. Role. And you even do like, hey, you do like a couple chapters from the view of like a civilian.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you do a couple chapters from the view of like a high up. You do a couple chapters from like a regular warrior, and you just get a taste of what it's like to live as that race.
Totally. Yeah.
That'd I could see that being a very cool way to get an in-depth understanding of how the race that you play and you like actually lives and functions.
Yeah. Yeah. I would read that. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause you can buy a codex, but it's just like,
it's battles, battles and names.
Exactly. Right? Like this is how this unit works, but it's not,
it's
really
more just information. Kinda. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. No, that,
I like that.
I agree
like
with
idea.
All of that. Like,
40K definitely has its flaws.
Yeah. Well, Games Workshop can always contact me for more ideas.
The one thing kind of on this term is when it comes to stories too, what I kind of don't like about 40K is so no one's important. Like, so let's say you do get this character that you are super attached to. Like, in the grand scheme of things, he's irrelevant.
Yes.
Like, because 40K is such a grand scale that, like, it... Yeah, it's
that classic 40K quote, like, whatever happens, you will not be missed.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter. But then, if you get somebody who's, like,
Belisarius.
Who breaks stuff. Like, he tries to advance the storyline, but he ends up, like, breaking the universe. Like, you can't advance the storyline in 40K without breaking it, almost. Like, it's hard to come up
with, that's
like,
where it comes back to that balance, right? Where you can't
it's
you can't
hard
make
to come
one person
with,
a
like,
good guy without making everyone else look like, you know, weak.
Yeah, it's hard to come up with like a story that affects the galaxy without breaking the galaxy.
But then you can
you
take
know
it,
what I don't
like,
know if
your
I
life,
agree with that.
Yeah, I like with Eric, like is any character's life insignificant if you're the one reading the story about it, you know? Like, is your life insignificant when you're the main character of your own story?
Oh, boy. No. Don't answer this conversation.
Not to you. Like, the point is, everyone is the main hero of their own story, right?
Yeah.
So if you take a perspective, a single guardsman in a single regiment, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's going to die. We're all going to die eventually. It doesn't mean we can't tell our stories.
Is he
going to
make a moment?
No,
is he going to make a difference with what he has?
Exactly.
Right. Is he gonna? I freaking hate this quote, but it's in the Deadpool movie. And what's the really big guy who's silver?
He's
the
X-Men.
No, get out of here. What is that big guy?
He has metal Cable.
Is it Cable? No.
He's the big Russian guy.
Is it Cable?
I don't know his
Russian
name.
Russian Metal Man.
Okay, and he's the Russian Metal Man, but he goes to Deadpool and he's like, one or two things, and Deadpool's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, All that it takes to make you a hero
You're
is
not
one
do the action.
No, I'm done with it now. But he's like, all it takes, it takes one or two moments. But he talks about that. You don't have to be a hero all the time. You just have to be a hero in one or two crucial moments, and that's what matters, right? So in the grand scheme of things, like a single guardsman who's like has the option to stand and fight or flee. In the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. But to the city he's protecting behind him, he's a hero.
Yeah.
Right? And
but
I think
that city doesn't matter.
Right. I mean, and I get that. But in the grand scheme of things,
I know.
He doesn't matter.
No, I know.
But when we look at the micro, 40K. I know you do. But you have
to. I love everyone in 40K.
We have to look at the micro.
Oh, orcs, Eldar.
Colossus is the guy's name too.
Colossus. Yeah. I love Colossus in 40K.
The person who's like megasonic teenage nuclear warhead or something.
Yeah. You remember that name, but you don't remember.
Is that actually the name?
Yes.
Okay. I just remember that Deadpool paid out of his own, or Ryan Reynolds paid out of his pocket to have her on the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
He had to buy the rights to the names and stuff.
Yeah. But you have to look at the micro. So because at the macro level, like, you can't do things and still be good, right?
Yeah.
You cannot.
Yeah.
Because in order for you to protect what's yours, like, you have to make sacrifices. You have to be willing
to the dark gods, right?
Right, absolutely. You have to be willing to kill people. You have to be willing to let an entire planet of your civilians die in order to save four others, right? And that is not a good thing. No one would say, like a good person would be able to save everyone. And that's what makes it impossible for...
Superman could do it.
Get the fuck out.
Get the fuck out of our podcast.
And I think, like, you will never find a good race.
Let me direct you to...
Don't you fucking say Tau.
They even have it in their name, the greater good.
And I think you'll never find that in a race as a whole. Just,
but at the same time, that's exact totally same way, part of its charm.
Like, in the exact same way that Canada as a whole... is not good.
Canada.
Right? Because there's always going to be people that are left behind and people that get hurt by the system or tumbled. There's no
way you has his way.
Live under an authoritarian regime.
No one, no large scale like can ever be
that.
Never went bad for anyone ever.
But I think that's all I'm trying to say is you have to look at the micro and you have to look at the individual in order to find those moments of purity and of goodness. And you'll never find it if you look at the big picture.
Totally, yeah.
What is life but just a series of moments of individuals? What is the greater whole without the individual?
We're all but farts in the wind, eh?
But we're all sure particles in the fart.
Dust.
That compose the fart. Otherwise, without us, the fart does not exist.
Oh, I'm very clean. Let me tell you, mate, there are shit particles, and they are lingering. I don't know if you have anything else to add, if anyone else does about that.
I'm good.
No, I think that's good. Yeah, I think it's a good discussion to have, and hopefully we'll continue to have it.
Yeah, and we directed you. We've answered all your problems. We've directed you to a book.
So now you have no issues with 40K, right?
You're good again. Absolutely not. Everything is resolved.
Yeah, exactly. Glad to hear it. Another happy client.
That'll be
no. Easy. I need a happy ending. Before I'm a happy client.
That costs extra.
Oh, Christian! Now is the time to prove that you're part of our podcast. Do it. Do it.
All right. I guess on that note, we'll wrap it up here. And
thanks for listening, guys. Obviously, it's a bonus episode. So tell us what you think.
Oh,
what's that?
I just remembered. I'm talking to this one guy named Woody. You guys are giving me I didn't name him.
Okay, go on.
Okay, he's his own human doing his own thing.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
And
the hero of his own story.
Exactly. So we were talking about like AI and stuff, and
I remember this conversation.
Well, we had it today, so no. But
I remember the email.
Yeah. We've had a couple conversations on AI, but. I'm just going to find the text here so I can kind of quote him exactly what he said. But.
Cue the Jeopardy theme music, please.
Da, 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 da,
I'm surprised you know that, Mark.
Da, da. Well, I can listen. I can't. I forget what he said, or I can't find the quote.
Don't
exactly.
quote it. Just but give us the flavor.
His kind of thing about 40K was like, sometimes it's just so illogical. Like, he was asking me like, well, why don't they do this? Or why don't they do that? And it's just like, this would make so much more sense if the Imperium used technology properly. Like,
right.
And he's like, I get frustrated when they do stupid things and they can't, like...
No, that's a good...
Yeah.
It's very real.
And that's kind of part of this conversation, too, where, like, when you look at it, like, at first, like, it just doesn't make any sense, is all I'm saying.
No, that's very true. You can try and rationalize it as much as you can, but the reality is, like, the people who create the story... Like, they just don't change it, right? They like the setting as it is, and they're like, okay, humanity is stuck right now. They're in, like, a stupor. So even though, like, logically they could use technology, we just don't write it in that they advance their technology, and then they have to try and rationalize it within the confines of the story.
Yeah.
But that's the theme of the whole universe.
Right, no, exactly.
But just because it's the theme doesn't mean it makes sense.
Exactly.
That's all we're trying to say.
Yeah. And so
but not making sense is the point.
Yeah, no, I know. Right? I know that for somebody to just think about look it. At it. And
got
like,
you. Yeah, if someone didn't know what they were getting into and it's just like, oh, I don't get why
it's not even that. Like, I would get frustrated. Like, I get the same thing. Like, there's a lot of times I'm like, why do you fucking have to have an STC? Just... engineer something yourself. Yeah. Like, you did it before. Clearly you can do it again. Like, you have more reasons, like, people now and ideas. Like, why can't you create it? And
because heresy, Eric.
Right. But that's the theme rationalization.
Is the religious fundamentalism is the riff that they're going on with that.
So what? No human.
This is a whole big thing.
No human on any planet has ever diverged and created a better land raider.
You get shot.
And what if you do it secretly? What if your planet has no Imperial contact?
Then you become a tech heretic.
But all I'm saying is that But it's like,
it's a real thing.
There are rationalizations because they want to keep the Land Raider. Let's use the Land Raider as an example. They want to keep it the same so they can use the same rules they always have for it, right? And they can use the same models, right? But in reality, like over the past 10,000 years, there's not been one upgrade.
Grav tank.
But like, do you see what I'm saying? Like it took 10,000 years to make that change, right? Like it is dumb.
Leave your logic at the door.
Honestly, step into the wonderful world of madness.
You do have to suspend. You have to suspend a little reality.
We're only the blind, or like, do you have to trust the insane to?
Like the I gotta blind look it lead up. It, the blind?
But there's a 40K quote where it's like, oh, you know, in a world of insanity, you have to trust the insane to lead the way. Something along those lines.
I'm not
a good Imperial citizen. I haven't memorized my quotes of the day.
You do have to suspend some reality when you step in here.
Yeah.
And not because the world, like, it makes sense in its own way, because it doesn't really. It's just that and I think a lot of it has to do is that it's a setting. And they're doing it for the game.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
Because the game is the same as it always has been, and that's why they can't advance things. Like, as much as we would like to see that, right? Like, they can't, because it would mess up the entire game.
Yeah.
Right? And that's why they use their rationalization of everything is stuck and so regulated and so heretical, because if all of a sudden they advance the story, it would completely destroy the entire game.
Yeah. So to take us out, Christian, give us the quote.
In an hour of darkness, a blind man is the best guide. In an age of insanity, look to the madman to show you the way.
Perfect.
That's decent.
We should do an episode on all these thoughts for the day.
They're brilliant.
I love them.
Well, I think that's everything.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Thanks for listening to our bonus episode, guys. Let us know what you think about the story. What are some inconsistencies you've noticed? What's your rationalization for it? How do you feel that GW could do it better? I know they're listening to this podcast, probably. but yeah.
They just have a guy locked in the basement just listening to podcasts 24 hours a day, nonstop.
And it's his job to find anything in it. Yeah.
For lawsuits.
Right, of course. not for fun.
No.
I hope you guys have good lawyers, because this is not my podcast.
Odd. Cool. Thanks. See you later, guys.
Bye.
Peace out.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.